Beloved brethren, I should like to say a few words to you, if I may. What an opportunity it is to meet together under these auspices. 230,000 of us, possibly more. We welcome you again this night and ask the Lord to bless us while we're thus convened. Two or three matters I would like to bring to your attention. We have written a letter to all the stake presidencies in the Western United States saying this: in the past, the Primary Children's Medical Center received substantial financial support through the annual Penny Parade. These funds enabled the hospital to admit children in need of assistance without regard to race, creed, religion, or ability to pay. Since this source of support is no longer available, the hospital has organized a children's fund, which will be conducting a penny by the inch fund drive in the month of February 1977. All funds received will be used to continue charity services. We think the program is worthy of your support. And with the Relief Society, I wish to call to your attention and all the brethren of the priesthood another matter deserving your attention and support. The General Presidency of the Relief Society more than a year ago proposed to the first presidency in the 12th, the erection of a monument to the women of the church. In view of the fact that the Prophet Joseph organized the Relief Society in Nauvoo on March 17, 1842, it was felt that this monument should stand in Nauvoo. The presidency in the 12th, after consideration, felt to endorse this proposal with the understanding that the project would be funded primarily through the voluntary contributions of the women of the church. Work on the monument has been going forward and contributions are being received. We earnestly ask that stake presidents and bishops give their endorsement to this undertaking and encourage their respective Relief Society presidents in their efforts to secure the needed contributions. We're confident that with support from you, brethren, these funds can be gathered without doing any injury to anyone. If many contribute, the individual amount need not be large. We would hope also that some of the brethren might feel inclined to make a contribution to this worthy project. The General Relief Society presidents are anxious to conclude the fund drive before March 17th of next year, with their anniversary date. Your efforts in this direction will be greatly appreciated. Each sister could make to the Relief Society a small contribution, and she would then feel a part of it. Another matter. We hope that you who teach in the various organizations, whether in the campuses or in our chapels, will always teach the orthodox truth. We warn you against the dissemination of doctrines which are not according to the scriptures and which are alleged to have been taught by some of the general authorities of a past generation, such, for instance, as the Adam God theory. We denounce that theory and hope that everyone will be cautioned against this and other kinds of false doctrine. Now, just a few words to you young men. Have you ever imagined yourself to be the Prophet Joseph Smith when he was 14 and received his glorious vision? Or David when he was playing his harp for King Saul? Or Joseph who had dreams and visions and who saw in dream how his father and mother and all his brothers and their families would bow down to him? Have you ever thought of yourself as being Nephi, who under very difficult circumstances defied his rebellious brothers and went into the city of Jerusalem and single-handed obtained the plates which were vital to the posterity of Lehi and his families. Have you ever thought of yourself as being the young Nephi who gave leadership in large measure to his older brothers and to his father's family? Can you think of yourself as being Nephi who heard his father excitedly call attention to something he had found just outside the door of his tent? It was a round ball, the answer to the message received by his father Lehi during the night when visited by the Lord, who told him to resume his journey into the wilderness on the morrow. There must have been great excitement in your family when the ball was shown to them. You and they found it to be a round ball of curious workmanship and made of fine brass, and none of you had ever seen anything like it before. It had two spindles or pointers which were designed to indicate the direction of the movement of the party as they went forward. For no reason that you could figure out, one of the spindles pointed a specific direction, which was identified by your father as the direction that you should go into the wilderness. And what would you further think if your father said that the voice of the Lord had spoken unto him, saying, "Look upon the ball, and behold the things which are written"? That when he beheld the things which were written upon the ball, he feared and trembled exceedingly. And your other brethren and associates and their wives also feared and trembled, apparently realizing that it was something out of this world. And what if you would be greatly interested and would observe very carefully the workings of this unusual ball? And you noted that it worked according to the faith and diligence and heed which were given unto them as to the way they should go. What would you think if, upon closer examination, you would note that there were writings on the ball, and that they were plain to be read, and that they went farther than pointing directions? They explained the ways of the Lord, and the instructions were changed from time to time as additional demands were made of the Lord, and this according to the faith and diligence which the family gave to it. What would be your feelings if you were directed by the ball, or Liahona, as it was came to be called, to climb into the top of the mountains, and the directions were given and written on the ball? Never had you seen anything like it. For it was curious workmanship, and the instructions to which they pointed were invariable, always the same direction, but the writings were changed from time to time according to need. What would you further think concerning this curious ball if it changed from time to time as directions needed? Imagine yourself a younger brother such as Nephi, but being more spiritual than the older brethren. You were very careful to follow the directions as they were given on the ball. Suppose that you found that the directions on the ball led the family to more fertile fields and parts of the wilderness where supplies could be had. Suppose that in your long travels you finally ran out of food and the children were crying for food, and that as you, with your specially fine steel bow and arrow, you broke the bow in your vigorous handling. And then suppose your brethren came to you very critical because their bows were of wood and they were broken, limiting the opportunity to kill the wild animals for food for the family. Suppose you then were obliged to sit in the camp and listen to your older brothers murmur exceedingly because of their sufferings and their afflictions in the wilderness, and with definite criticisms of their father and yourself and even the Lord for having led them into this dry wilderness. The steel springs of the bows of your brothers had lost their strength, and food was getting very scarce. Suppose in these difficult hours of criticism and complaint of your brothers that you had made a bow and used a straight stick for an arrow, and that you had armed yourself with your new bow and arrow, and with stones and a sling. And when you asked your father where you should go, in what direction to find meat, and then you felt the inspiration of the faithfulness of your beloved father. Suppose that even your father had begun to murmur against the Lord for leaving the family in these separate straits, desperate straits. How would you feel to know that your father as well as your brothers were chastised by the voice of the Lord for their lack of faith and humility? Can you imagine yourself with your older brothers and your father and all the family looking intently at the ball and its pointers to see what it would say when you were all instructed by the voice of the Lord to follow the instructions of the ball? Can you imagine all your brothers and members of the family crowding around the ball to watch it work? Then all at once you noticed the pointers or spindles moved around and showed an error. Would you not tremble as you were reminded again with the whole family that the pointers of the ball would work according to the faith and diligence? And then if you went with your brothers and finally convinced them and you went into the great ocean, and then after a short travel, the spindles wouldn't work anymore, and the ship turned around and went backwards, and because of the lack of faith of the brothers who were very rude and cruel, and who picked up yourself and bound you hand and foot till your arms and your ankles ached. What would you think of all those things? And then you realized and you knew that if they would just live the word of the Lord and be faithful, that the spindles would work. What would you think then if finally, when the angel came and protected you and released you from this bondage, you were cleared, and the brethren, having repented to some degree, went on, and the spindles worked well, and you went on to your destination. We hear again of the ball or compass or Leona, which is interpreted to mean a compass which the Lord had prepared and which could not be worked by any man. But it was prepared especially to show unto your father the course which he should travel in the wilderness. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of a ball, each one of you, so that whenever you were in error, it would point the way and it would write messages to you? Wouldn't you like to have that kind of a ball, each one of you, so that you would always know when you were in error or in the wrong way? That, my young brethren, you all have. The Lord gave to every boy, every man, every person, a conscience which tells him every time he starts to go on the wrong path. He is always told, if he is listening. But people can, of course, become so used to hearing the messages that they ignore them until finally they do not register anymore. You must realize that you have a ball, something like the compass, like the Leona, in your own system. Every child is given it. When he's 8 years of age, he knows good from evil, if his parents have been teaching him well. If he ignores the ball that he has in his own makeup, he eventually may not have it whispering to him again. But if we'll remember that every one of us has the thing that will direct him aright. His ship will not get on the wrong course, and suffering will not happen, and bows will not break, and families will not cry for food, if we listen to the dictates of our own liahona, which we call the conscience. Brethren, this has been a glorious evening for us here, to all meet together, 230,000 of us perhaps, maybe more. We have just now received another telegram from Melbourne, Australia, which says they're receiving the conference very well. So this is the third corner of the world. Perhaps we may get another which will get the fourth corner of the world. At any rate, brethren, we've had some wonderful messages here tonight. And may the Lord bless us that we will ponder them and think them through and receive them into our souls, that we may carry on this great work that the Lord has given to us. The Lord does live. The Savior of the world does live. They have a program for us. They have made it known to us. If our liahonas don't work, if we live so that they cannot be depended upon, we may not understand fully all the things the Lord tells us to do. But my faith and prayer is that we will, and that we will give serious consideration to all the things that we're hearing in this conference and from the brethren who lead us. May the Lord bless us, brethren. May peace be with us, and joy and comfort. And I offer this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.